This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is day 2 of Hajj. From the Hajj Chronicles, which I began 2 days ago. Yesterday, we looked at Mina and the rites of Mina, and we stressed that Mina was in preparation for Arafah. Today is the day of Arafah. Al-Hajju Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ had said that Arafah is Hajj. It is the essence of Hajj. It is the most important rite of Hajj. It cannot replace the rest of the rites, but without it, there is no Hajj. There's no making up. See, other aspects of the Hajj, if you didn't do one properly or you missed out on one, others, it's possible to make up for those errors by slaughtering an animal, etc. But in the case of Arafah, if you miss Arafah, there is no Hajj. So now, Arafah on the 9th, because Mina was the 8th, we said Mina was also the 9th in the morning, because the recommended time to go into Arafah is around Dhuhr time. But you will have to go according to the instructions of those who are guiding you through Hajj. Because though it was the Sunnah to enter in just after Dhuhr, at Dhuhr time, the movement of so many people, because this is one of the places where, you know, everybody is in one place at the same time, may require different sets of people to go at different times. Those timings may have to be arranged by the authorities. So don't argue this point. If they want you to go a little earlier, there is no harm. No harm. So if you've gone in before Dhuhr, then you settle yourself there and you make dua, etc. You wait for Dhuhr prayer. And there, Dhuhr is going to be made along with Asr. So Dhuhr and Asr are going to be combined there. There's a major masjid there where the Prophet ﷺ, you know, gave the khutbah of Arafah, a very famous khutbah. And you may be able to hear it in the tents where they have some arrangements for broadcasting, because it's broadcasted on radio. So it's possible in your tent that they will have some radios picking up that broadcast, so you'll be able to listen to the khutbah. The khutbah is in Arabic, but there may be arrangements for translations, and you can listen to the khutbah of Arafah. While you're there in Arafah, you should be aware that Arafah is Hajj, the essence of Hajj. And as such, the Prophet ﷺ had expressed some of the unique features of Arafah, which made it special. And it's also good for us to reflect on it, to understand better the special qualities or nature of this time in Arafah. And this is the place where the verse Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum was revealed. This verse in which Allah states that the religion was completed, emphasizing that Islam was complete, the message of Islam was complete with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole message was delivered to him, he conveyed that message. There is no one to come after him to complete the message. There's no one to bring a new message. No. On that day, that verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, that day from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 3, this statement was made. Actually, it's not verse 3, but it's from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. Today I've completed for you your religion. And this also stresses to us, it's important for us to be aware of the fact that when Allah stated that today the religion was complete, it means then that there is no room for innovation in religion. You can innovate in your life, homes, cars, air conditioners, rugs, whatever. You can innovate in the necessities of life. We can add, create, and we're encouraged to invent, develop, improve, innovate. Wonderful, but not in religion. Because the religion was complete with the message of the Prophet. Same as in the case of Prophet Jesus, when he came, he delivered the complete message. However, those who call themselves his followers changed that message. They innovated, they modified, they added, deleted, converted, until the religion, which came to be known as Christianity, was no longer recognizable as the religion which was brought by Prophet Jesus. So, in order to protect the final message, Allah made the statement that it's complete. In the case of Prophet Jesus, there was a prophet coming after him, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. So in spite of the fact that they changed, distorted, modified, everything could be brought back on track by the last prophet of Allah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterated this point when he said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad." Whoever adds anything new to this religion, which is not a part of it, is rejected by Allah. Allah will not accept it. It's as simple as that. Allah will not accept it. So no matter how nice it might seem, how reasonable and logical it might appear, if it was not a part of the religion when that verse was revealed, it can never be a part of the religion. That's the bottom line. So we also have the Prophet ﷺ relating to us the Quranic verse in which Allah swears by the day of Arafah. That verse is in Surah Al-Buruj, where Allah says, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. The witness, which the Prophet ﷺ explained, was Friday, and the witnessed day. And he explained that that was Arafah. So Allah swears by Arafah. Also, for those who are not on Hajj, fasting on Arafah earns the reward of purification from sin for the previous year and the year to come. So today, for those of us who are not in Mecca, not in Arafah or Mina, heading out to Arafah. Technically speaking, you could be in Mecca heading out to Mina to Arafah, because if one did not spend the night in Mina, it doesn't violate or cancel the Hajj. Mina is strongly recommended, but not obligatory. So you will have people who seek to minimize the Hajj to as few days as possible, flying in today, heading straight out to Arafah. But anyway, the point is that fasting for those of us who are not in Arafah today is strongly recommended. And its reward is so great. Remember that the reward of Hajj is purification from sin. Its reward, this is for those people who couldn't make Hajj. So, the same object, the objective of Hajj, purification from sin, can also be achieved through fasting on this day. It may not have the full ramifications of Hajj, but Allah is most merciful. And knowing that the vast majority of Muslims would eventually not be able to make Hajj, He provided additional ways of purification for those unable to make Hajj. Having the intention, desiring to make Hajj, but not being able because of his qadr, his destiny, which didn't allow them to make Hajj. So, this day, for those of us who are home, should be a day of fasting. We should be fasting today. The fourth major point concerning the day of Arafah is that it is the day in which Allah took a covenant from Adam and all of his descendants. When Allah created Adam on the day of Arafah, He took from Adam all of his descendants who would ever exist on this earth. We were in that group, each and every one of us, in the spiritual form. And He made us bear witness that He was our Lord, saying, "Alastu bi rabbikum," am I not your Lord? And we all agreed and affirmed, saying, "Bala shahidna," we all witnessed it. That is the covenant of faith which every human being who has been created, will be created, has made. Created meaning in this world. Because the creation was from the time of Adam, all human beings were created in the spiritual form. They remain in the barzakh, and the spirit is brought into the child by the end of the fourth month, and we then live our lives out to whatever period of time Allah has permitted. And the Prophet ﷺ had also said, this is the day in which the most people are freed from the hellfire. Arafah is a special day. May Allah bless all of those, all of you who are there on Arafah. If you're watching this program, these chronicles, for those of us who are home, it is only for us to wish or to miss, if we have made Hajj before, to wish that we could be there. And may Allah give us the opportunity to be there again in the future. So as I said, we should be leaving Mina and going in to Arafah around Dhuhr time. That is the actual Sunnah. Going earlier or a little later, no harm. And the crowds may not allow you to go at the best time. Now in Arafah we said we had Dhuhr prayer to make. Dhuhr is now joined with Asr. We pray Dhuhr and Asr together. Dhuhr and Asr together gives us then the rest of time until Maghrib to make dua. We should be making the talbiyah when we set out from Mina. Actually, while we're in Mina, we should be doing it. Do it after Fajr. Do it at different times in the day. Coming back to that talbiyah time and time again. Because the talbiyah remains a rite of the Hajj all the way up until the stoning of the Jamara, of the wall. And that will be tomorrow. So continue with the talbiyah. So from time to time during this day in Arafah, we should repeat the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika laka. We should repeat that. Reflecting also on its meaning, we are answering the call of Prophet Abraham, who was told to announce to humanity to come and worship Allah there in Mecca. We also should reflect on the dua, and of course we mentioned that this period of time in Arafah, from the time we arrive, Dhuhr, until sunset, is a time fundamentally for dua, for supplication. We pray the formal prayers, we complete them, the rest of the time is basically a time for supplication. Don't pick up the Quran or pick up Islamic book and start reading. These things you can do anywhere, anytime. Unless you are picking specific du'as from the Quran to read and reflect on. Just reading Quran, yes, it's an act of worship. Reading the Quran is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It contains guidance. But your focus here should be your individual dua. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua is the essence of worship. And this is why Al-Hajju Arafah. Because Al-Hajju dua. And dua is ibadah. So it is completely ibadah. So we should be focusing as much as possible on the dua. We should have prepared ourselves from Mina. We should have added up and listed all the various areas we wanted to make dua about. And We should note that as the Prophet ﷺ had said, the best dua is that done on the day of Arafah. The best dua that can be made is the ones done on the day of Arafah. So those of you that are there should strive your best to make your dua the best you can possibly make it. Cry in your dua. Not necessarily weeping and making, you know, sounds and things like this, but to yourself. Let tears come to your eyes in your dua. Cry. Force yourself to cry. Make yourself cry. Think about whatever can bring you to tears. Whatever will touch you and cause you to cry. This is the time, the special time that we need to be crying in our dua. It's the best dua to make. And why I'm stressing crying? Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that among those seven who would be shaded by the throne of Allah on a day when there would be no shade, that's the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, there will be no other shade but the shade of his throne. Among those people will be one who remembers Allah and tears come to his or her eyes. Those who cry in remembrance of Allah, because our dua is about remembering Allah. Those who cry will earn the reward of being among those in the shade of Allah's throne. If you're in the shade of Allah's throne, it means you are among those chosen for paradise. So this we should strive for. There in Arafah, we should strive our hardest to achieve this. This is a chance for us. So don't let this time go. Focus on the dua. And the Prophet ﷺ had gone on to say, the best supplication which prophets before me and I said is, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. No one has the right to be worshipped except Allah, who is alone and without partner. To him belongs all praise and sovereignty, and he is able to do all things. This ba'a contains our declaration of faith. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship besides Allah. That is our Islam. That is Tawheed. Wahdahu la sharika la. He is alone, without partner. He has no partner. We should not put any intermediary between us and him. He is alone. He alone hears us. Ud'uni astajib lakum. As he told us, call on me and I will answer you. Don't call on anybody else. Do not be tricked by the words of Satan, whispered into your ears by those who would convince you that you cannot call directly on Allah. That you have to go through an intermediary. They may say to you that you are dirty with sin. Allah is pure. How can you, a filthy sinner, approach God? This is the logic which is commonly used, but it is false logic. We are not dealing with a ruler of this world who you need intermediaries to get to that ruler, to get your complaints heard, to get your needs met. No, we're dealing with the creator of it all. He needs no intermediary. No intermediary will benefit us. So we should call on him. After recognizing that none deserves to be worshipped besides him, we should not call on him through anyone else. Because some people will tell you, well, no, I'm not worshipping Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when I call on him to ask Allah to do something for me. Yes, you are. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dua is worship. Supplication is worship. So if you supplicate to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are worshipping him. You supplicate to a saint, say, you know, Abdul Qadir Jilani or whoever, you are worshipping him. You're not worshipping Allah. So wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk. Sovereignty is his. Everything belongs to him. All of creation is his. So if there's anything to be done, he does it. If anything you need to be done, he can do it. And if anything you feel you're going to lose if you don't do what he has, if you do what he has asked you to do, if you don't disobey his commands, you will not achieve something of his mulk. Well, you've fooled yourself. You've been deluded by Satan. It all belongs to him. So if your circumstance seems to demand you to disobey Allah, know that your success is in obeying Allah. And whatever it is that you thought you would lose if you didn't disobey him, you will not. You will not lose it. Because lahul mulk, it all belongs to him. Walahul hamd, and he deserves to be praised and thanks. Gratitude should all be directed to him. Alhamdulillah, we begin our daily prayers every day, 17 times a day. Alhamdulillah. We should have the attitude of gratitude. We should be grateful. There is so much to be grateful for. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and he is able to do all. With him, there is no impossible. The impossible becomes possible through him. The impossible becomes possible through him. We have to believe that. So this is the dua that we should repeat and reflect on as much as we can during Arafah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. You might think that's not really a dua, that's like a glorification statement, but this is, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's dua. When you glorify Allah, when you say Subhanallah, where we ask that Allah in our thoughts be free from any weakness or negativity or whatever is attributed to him. He's glorified above it all when we state that. Yes, it's glorification, but it is also dua. When we say Allahu Akbar, that is also dua. It is supplication, dua. All of it. Walhamdulillah, this is all dua. Dua is not just, oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, protect me from that. That is part of dua too. But it's all included. So this day should be dedicated to dua. Do not allow the day to go in sleep, because maybe you stayed up late, you left out early, whatever, so you're a bit tired. Whatever, if you go to sleep for a bit to regain your strength, please have those around you wake you up so you don't spend Arafah in sleep. Some people go to Arafah, they stay up, they're chatting, they're carrying on all morning. And by the time they get into to Arafah, they're exhausted and tired, and they go to sleep. So they sleep away the whole of the time in Arafah. Maybe only an hour before sunset, they wake up. That's sad. They were there, and they may as well not have been there. They were given Arafah. They were blessed with Arafah, and they just threw it away. So don't get fooled. Struggle, force yourself, stay awake, make dua, keep making dua, cry in your dua, make the dua as sincere as possible from the bottom of your heart. Don't just read dua books where you're just reading Arabic text like you commonly read the Quran and you don't know what it's saying. No, this is of no value. You're blowing your Arafah. Know what you're saying. You don't have to have it written out for you. Reach into your heart and call on Allah. And ask Him to forgive you. Because remember, this is about forgiveness and repentance. Hajj is purification. So we have to have at the bottom of it remorse for our sins. Reflect on those sins. Feel bad about those sins. There you are on Arafah, carrying with you all of those sins. Ask Allah to clear those sins from you. Sincerely hate them. Feel sad about them. Feel disgusted at yourself. And ask Allah to purify you. This is Arafah. Don't let your time be wasted looking for Jabal Rahmah, climbing up on top of Jabal Rahmah. Some people go there, you may as well be climbing Mount Everest. You know, everybody's trying to get to the top of Mount Everest so you can say you're on the top. You go up on the top of Jabal Rahmah, you take a selfie of yourself, and you know, there you are at the top of Jabal Rahmah. Doing what? Oh, okay, you put your hands up. You finally, you know, a few minutes before sunset, you've put your hands up at the top of Jabal Rahmah. After spending all day trying to find Jabal Rahmah and then climbing up Jabal Rahmah, fighting with the people to try to do it. This is not Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't stand on top of Jabal Rahmah. He didn't climb on top of it. It is not from the Sunnah to climb on top of it. People have made it Sunnah. He never instructed, he never encouraged. It's there. It's there in the plain of Arafah. But it is, and he, on the back of his camel, sat there and made dua near that location, but not on the top of it. So it is not an object to be achieved. There is no objective in climbing up Jabal Rahmah. If you climb to the top, it doesn't mean you're closer to Allah. See, some people might have in their mind, okay, I'm at the top, you know, Allah is above, so that means I'm closer to Allah than if I stayed at the bottom. Then why did the Prophet ﷺ stay at the bottom? So put that out of your mind. Leave Jabal Rahmah. It doesn't matter where it is. If you happen to be next to it or near it, okay, fine, you can go in the plain of Arafah near it, no harm. But climbing up it, making that the objective of your Arafah experience, is a waste of time. Focus on dua. Sitting in your tent, standing outside your tent, even lying down in your tent, make Arafah is dua. Dua is worship. Arafah is worship. So stay there until the setting of the sun. When the sun has set, don't pray Maghrib there. That's what you normally do. Sunset, time to pray Maghrib. But you are not supposed to pray Maghrib there. You should delay your Maghrib till the time of Isha and pray it in Muzdalifah. That is a part of this day. The day of Arafah ends at sunset. Because according to the lunar calendar, the days begin the night before. So the 10th starts from sunset today. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah, Eid, starts from sunset today. So, though we're talking about Arafah, practically speaking, you will be in Arafah until sunset. You will be there until sunset. And after sunset, I mean, you're still thinking this is the day of Arafah. No, this is the night of Eid, according to the calculation, how the months, the days, etc., are calculated in the Arabic tradition. Arabic, the Jews also calculate the same way. Lunar calendar, people calculate it the same way. People who follow the lunar calendar. So, your time ends at sunset. From that point, you should be on your way to Muzdalifah. And what we will do, we will look at Muzdalifah now, though today is really the day of Arafah. We look at Muzdalifah. Why? Because tomorrow is the day of Eid. In terms of the major rites of that day, we would be stoning, going into Mecca, Tawaf al-Ifadah, and all the other things. So we will tackle that tomorrow on the third day. And I need to tell you about Muzdalifah today, because if I wait until tomorrow this time, Muzdalifah would have been finished. So what is Muzdalifah? When we leave Arafah and we're on our way back to Mina, where we will do stoning, Muzdalifah is a way station between the two. There are no tents there. You will only take a sleeping mat, something to lie on, could be a rug or whatever, and that's all. This is the simplest point in our Hajj, in the sense that we're in our ihram and we're now reduced to only a mat. No tent, even just only down to a mat. We're being humbled down to the most basic state. That's all we have. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, be in this world like a traveler. You don't need to carry your home with you. All you need is a mat, so that's all that there is for you in Muzdalifah. Now, the issues of movement may force you to be in the bus most a lot of the time, or getting onto the train, you know, may end up you may end up losing time. Try to find the shortest way to get to Muzdalifa, the one which will eat up the least of your time. Of course, you need to go with your group. Hopefully, the group is trying to find the shortest way. And you still need to be making your talbiyah. Keep the talbiyah alive. When your mind starts to wander, go back to talbiyah. Let the talbiyah keep you focused on your hajj. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika lak. Let that be the reminder to help to keep you focused. Now, many people, when they come to Muzdalifa, they end up spending the whole night in worship and feel that this is the best thing to do. However, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he slept. He slept in Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa is a way station, a place where you will take rest, prepare yourself for the Eid day, the 10th. Yawm al-Nahr is also called the day of sacrifice. So follow the way of Prophet Muhammad. He was the best example. Don't stay up all night. Or other people, they spend the night looking for stones, climbing up the mountains, the hills that are around there in Muzdalifa, and chipping off rocks from the side of the mountain to add up all of the stones they can for stoning in Mina. Maybe stoning over the next 3 days. Right? 4 days. If you're staying on till the 13th. Now, that is not required. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. But you will see so many people scrambling for stones. You will hear, you know, as if you're in a quarry where they're beating away, digging and smashing rocks and beating. This is all ignorance. People who don't know what Hajj is. The Prophet ﷺ collected his stones on his way to Mina. He told Abdullah ibn Abbas to get up some pebbles for him. And we'll talk about that. So don't spend your time in finding stones. Don't spend your time staying awake in dua. You make your talbiyah. You do make dua after your prayers, and then you take some rest. We remember Allah, dhikr should be done, because Allah did say in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 198, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ مَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. When you leave Arafah, remember Allah at Muzdalifah. Al-Mash'ar al-Haram refers to Muzdalifa. So we remember Allah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu Akbar. These are amongst our supplications, our words of remembrance, etc. at that period of time. But we don't spend the night in supplication. Take our rest. And when we take our rest, we do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, which we should have applied also when we're in Mina, the night before going into Arafah, meaning last night. We should have made our three quls before sleeping, blowing in our hands, wiping over our bodies. We make the dua of sleeping. And we also sleep on our right sides. These practices, all of the various practices, we should try to do them correctly, in the best way. bring alive all of the sunnah, the daily sunnah that we can. This is our chance to bring it back into our lives. And we should stay in Muzdalifah until Fajr tomorrow and leave out after sunrise. Leave out after sunrise. After praying the Fajr, stay where we are, remembering Allah, etc. You know, until sunrise, we get also the reward of Hajj if we do that, as the Prophet ﷺ had promised. So we should try to make the maximum of each of the rites that we are engaged in. There is a concession given for old people, sickly, and women to leave after midnight. After midnight tonight, it is permissible for them to leave earlier. So if your Hajj group has arranged that for the women, and of course, for those women who are going early, men, their maharim, the men who are with them, to go along with them, not necessarily everybody. If in your group you've got so many men, if you have enough who are related to the women, go along with them. It doesn't mean everybody has to go then. If the group is going in two sections, it's better to stay back and spend that night for those who are on their own, or they have others who are going along with their women and the people who are infirm. So Muzdalifah tonight, remember the talbiyah, prepare for tomorrow. Tomorrow is the most taxing day of Hajj. May Allah accept your rites of Arafah, your prayers, your dua, Al-Hajju Arafah. May Allah grant you Arafah. And for those of us who have not gone to Hajj, may Allah accept your fast, the fast of Arafah, purifying the sins of our past year and of this year to come. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.